Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire. I wanna be a billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat. I got a special guest on my show, so take some notes. This man is a rapper, producer, an author, amongst other things. Ladies and gentlemen, Fredro Starr.
What's good? What's good?
Life is good. Can't complain, King.
Thank you
for doing this today, man. You know what I'm saying? I know we briefly spoke on Instagram, and I just want to thank you for coming through. You know what I'm
saying? What made you holler at me on the gram? Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, people get messages all the time in a DM, you know, about business and this and that. So what made you just say, yo, let me highlight you? You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to be real with you, brother. I listen to two of your records every single day when I'm in the gym. And that's Throw Your Guns in the Air.
Great record.
And Shut Them Down.
Great record.
And it's typically when I'm about to lift that 350-pound chest press.
That's
I'm like, throw your guns in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, throw your guns in there. These are the guns right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, then I'm like, yo, let me see. Because typically I'm all about manifestation. So I speak into existence and I go get it. And I was like, you know what?
Right.
I'm going to get these guys on the show. I reached out to you, reached out to Sticky. You responded first and, you know,
I don't think Sticky even fuck with the eye. He don't fuck with Instagram.
I mean, yeah, it's all good, you know.
You know what I'm saying? He ain't into all that. He's anti-social media, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I definitely, you know what I'm saying, reach back to certain people. Mm-hmm. So, when you reached out to me, mm-hmm. I did my homework, you know what I'm saying? I clicked on the link and was like, okay, this young brother got something going on.
Thank you.
It sounds positive. Mm-hmm. Positive energy, positive results, like my man Mr. Pepper said.
That's a big fact. Exactly, man. Yeah. And like I told you before, this show is more about, it's for the future generation. It's about getting insider information for those looking to be in your position. So the generation coming after you who want to be rappers, producers, actors, and all that good stuff, you know, I want you to kind of drop some jewels for them so they could kind of take the gems of your journey, you know, so they could kind of not go through the errors that you have went through and stuff like that, you know, and they could have that straight and narrow path.
Well, they got to go through it, man. Anybody who do anything in life got to go through it and learn from your own mistakes before we even start, you know what I'm saying? So that has to happen, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got to learn for yourself and shit, so.
Well, even not necessarily to miss the steps, but more so to be aware of what may come
in that regard.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, but I kind of want to start, because we all know your history, so I kind of want to start from where you kind of got the entrepreneurial mindset throughout your career on, yo, I need to diversify my attention, you know, because you was like in over 55 films, you know what I'm saying, including television as well. You know, you did the producing and you also actor, but you started with rap. So at what point throughout the rap career did you decide, yo, I need to do other things to maintain for the future?
Okay, well, for people who don't know, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't think everybody does know, but for people who
if you don't know, you should.
You know, coming from Southside Jamaica, Queens, originally born in Brooklyn, coming to Queens in the 80s, man, you know what I'm saying? You're seeing people on the streets making money and not working a 9-to-5 somehow, you know what I'm saying? Hustlers. You know, we lived in a crack era, you know what I'm saying? Queens was the crack era. That was, you know, Supreme Team and all them dudes, you know what I'm saying, growing up in Southside, you seen firsthand these guys with the nice jewelry, nice cars, dress nice, they look successful, you know what I'm saying? So I had to figure my way out of the hood. How do I survive in the hood? You know what I'm saying? That was the first step. So, you know, I tried to do selling crack. I tried to do this and that. It didn't work for me. So I found something else that could keep me alive in the hood, which was cutting hair. I started cutting hair.
That's crazy. And when I started cutting hair too.
Yeah, when I started cutting hair, I started with my man Big DS, God bless the dead. You know what I'm saying? When I started with him, you know, the whole De La Soul shit was going on, Tribe Called Quest was going on. So the hair thing was kind of crazy. All the designs. It was that time of, you know what I'm saying? The culture was hot on designs.
Yeah, that's your man DS that you shouted out on that record. Big DS, we got your bell.
He was on the first album and he passed away from cancer.
Sorry,
you know
about
what I'm
that.
Saying? Mm-hmm. One of the original members of Onyx. So I started on cutting his hair. But I took that passion into survival mode because then I found my way working in the barbershop. I worked right in the barbershop where Ed Burns got killed, the cop from Queens. Mm-hmm. Since cop got killed in Queens, this is a big story, and this is why they call it Cop Killer Queens and all that. I worked in the barbershop, like, right up the street on Lakewood and Inwood. I was 16, 17 years old. Not even supposed to be working, but dropped out of high school. Because I was like, yo, if I can make $200, $300 a day cutting hair, and I'm going to school, how much could I make if I don't go to school? You know what I'm saying? So I quit school. I was killing them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I was cutting all the drug dealers here in Southside. So all the drug dealers would give me their money. I got to conversate with all of the drug dealers, professional people, people from everywhere. We had people from the Bronx coming in, people from Brooklyn. So I got to kind of like, you know, how to talk to people. You know what I'm saying? The barbershop taught me how to communicate with all types of different people. Because all types of different people was coming in my chair.
Right.
And you have to know how to conversate to get that tip and, you know,
absolutely,
to get them to come back. You got your conversation got to be, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Something, okay.
And customer satisfaction.
Exactly. So that right there prepared me to do the movies, to be in the industry, the music industry. That prepared me to talk to the higher ups, the people that, you know what I'm saying?
So again, you gain those communication skills throughout that path.
Communication skills, right. And that's basically the number one thing you need in the industry is to communicate.
Right. I agree. And I noticed that too because, yo, for a long time, I was like, yo, I need to move to Cali. I know if I move to Cali, my shit gonna pop. But, you know, God wasn't bringing that to fruition at the time, you know what I'm saying? But even though during that time, I got into sales, you know, I did a sales career for 10 years. Mm. And that is what helped me get my communication skills, my people skills, my networking ability that I was gonna need when I came out here. If I would have came out here before that, I would have ended up right back home.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, yeah, that dream lives in our heart, but it's his plan, you know what I'm saying? If you didn't have the barbershop, who knows what deals you possibly couldn't have closed if you didn't have those skills that you got.
Right.
You know, so.
And then, you know, we met Jam Master Jay. Mm-hmm. God bless the dead. You know, Jam Master Jay was the DJ for Run DMC. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Who's in the Rap Hall of Fame and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and all that. Run DMC, they started hip hop. Mm-hmm. So once we got down with Jam Master Jay, we was on his label. We did the first Onyx album, Back the Fuck Up, on Jay's label.
Yeah, I bought it.
He executive produced it, Throw Your Guns, and all of that shit was on there.
I actually stole it that first time.
Well, yo, you stole it. That's when heavy bootlegging was going on. Yeah. Back in the days, they had actual CDs and tape cassettes, so it wasn't like no streaming, so it was easy to bootleg shit.
Yeah,
so,
facts.
You know, we was fighting the African niggas on Canal Street and all that
That's
shit.
That's crazy. That's my music. You tell about
yeah, exactly. We did all of that shit, you know what I'm saying? But that actually really happened. We got arrested for that shit.
Ah,
you know what I'm saying? Us and the African nigga was in jail.
Damn. Awesome. That's funny.
We talk Canal Street up. But, you know, getting with Jay, that once we got in the building with Russell Simmons, the OG, that was it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because once we got in the building with Russell, he got us in the movie business.
Mm.
And once he got us in the movie business, we had an audition with Forrest Whitaker for a movie called Strap. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Russell was the guy who was saying, yo, my man got this movie. And I think you guys should go in there. You know what I'm saying? We was up in there, Q-Tip. Couple of other, you know, rappers was in there, you know what I'm saying? We walked in there like, you know, this is before we even came out. We just had the deal. We just got signed. So we didn't have no type of success yet. We didn't know what was going to happen. We just knew that we was on Def Jam and we was going to an audition. And right there, that was the start of it. Once I got the strap roll, Forrest Whitaker gave me a shot. Once we got that shot, Sticky came right behind me.
Mm.
Like, fuck that. My nigga's in the door. I'm coming in the door, too.
Yeah.
Then once we both got in the door, then we both did a movie called Clockers together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was kind of crazy doing a movie with your cousin, the nigga that you grew up with.
Yeah.
The nigga that tried to set you on fire, the bed on fire when you was like 9 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like this. Now we doing a movie together. We signed to a record label together and we getting money. It's crazy. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we've been getting money since the barbershop. So, you know, when we met Jay, I think Jay was kind of impressed with us already having ours. When I met Jay, I had a brand new truck. Jay asked me, yo, you selling drugs? I'm like, nah. He's like, come on, man. You got to be selling drugs.
Yeah.
Because the money that I was getting from cutting hair, they couldn't believe it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But that's how it was, man. When you got all drug dealers who's making 20,000 a week on a block. You know what I'm saying? They coming in to get a bar. They coming in the barbershop. They spending 100, 200. Ain't nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just, you know what I'm saying, snatching man.
At least twice a week.
Snatching up shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was working that shit. Yeah, I was hustling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They got to come to me to look good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To get that shape. And get, you know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
So, shit, I had them niggas on crack.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, man, you know, it started from the bottom. And, you know, once we got in the game, then that was it, man. We got in the game. That was it.
Yeah, you guys just kind of took off from there, man. I mean, you know, I enjoyed the journey, man. I mean, I was born in 85, but I got wind of you guys like early 1990s. Like, when Back the Fuck Up came out, you know, that's when I got wind of you guys.
So you probably was like about, you know, 12,
something
13.
Like that.
Adolescent.
You know, still running around.
You're right behind us a couple of years, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But nah, it was cool. It was cool to see the growth of it, you know what I'm saying? The fact that you guys are still out there moving and shaking and, you know, diversifying your attention in different markets, which is amazing.
Right.
And also, not the reason why I wanted to see how you guys maintain, because not only are you all those things, actors, producers, and, you know, author, but you're also a husband and a father.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see, you know, how is that work-life balance for you? Like, is it hard? Is it easy? What kind of steps do you take
to maintain that? I mean, as far as being a father, I mean, that's just something that you gotta. Yo, I've been taking care of niggas my whole life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Grown niggas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you get young babies, like, you already been taking care of niggas your whole life. You know what I'm saying? But now it's time to take care of your little niggas.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, as far as like financially or that, it's always been somebody getting taken care of.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, but that keeps you grounded. You know what I'm saying? Keeps you in a positive, you know, before you would do some stupid shit, you think about them kind of now. It's like, you know what, let me not do this stupid shit. You grow up, you know what I'm saying? You evolve, you know, to a husband, a father, and you become more of a man, you know what I'm saying? Once you become a man, then you kind of see things different, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we all go through our crazy times in life, you know what I'm saying? And there's a point in time where you actually got to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that time came and you just adjusted with it. As far as the time, we still got to put that, you know, working and still touring and still doing films and producing. We still got to put that work in. And that just gives you the extra energy to go do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, these niggas got to be good. You know what I'm saying? So when they grow up, they ain't got to go through what I had to go through. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's just inspiration for, you know, most people out there. You know what I mean? I guess.
Yeah. No, that's real shit. All right, man. So, you know, I know, like, for example, some artists that came out in your era, you know, disappeared. You know, they ain't doing nothing like that right now. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, how was it possible for you, you know, because I know you mentioned staying alive is rule number one.
Yeah, I mean.
But I know consistency has a lot to play and stuff like that. So just tell me a little bit about that, you know, the moves you made to stand the test of time.
Like, you know, it's all about a team, you know what I mean? And sometimes your team players change and you just try to get the right teammates around you, lawyers, you know, consultants, good friends.
Mm.
Put yourself in a circle of friends and company that can keep you in the right direction, you know what I'm saying? And try to just venture out and do different things. I think there's no number of hustles you can do in life. You can do a million hustles. It doesn't matter. Try, because now we living in a time where you can be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, when we came up, you didn't have that.
Entrepreneur wasn't even a dictionary.
No, I mean, you didn't have the opportunities that we have now with social media, you know, to conversate with somebody in Russia or conversate with somebody in England about some business or doing a film or, you know, doing some music. Like, that wasn't part of it. So you had to kind of like grind it out when we came up. But now that it's, you know, accessible to us, you take advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure everybody is definitely taking care of social, you know, social media is part of everybody's everyday life.
Mm.
So take care of that, you know, take advantage of that.
Do you think that made things easier as far as like, you know, trying to find your way into the industry, utilizing social media as a tool, or, you know, was the original routes more effective? Like, you know, since we didn't have social media, it was more so word of mouth,
right,
hitting the clubs, you know, grinding the actual footwork.
Right.
Do you think that's more effective or the social media aspect helped it?
I think it's both.
Okay.
I think social media lets everybody in. Like you said, we used to have to go to the club. You had to go to the tunnel, give Funk Master Flex your record, stare at the nigga like this with 30 niggas so he could play. You know what I'm saying? You had to put that work in. Like, how it was. You know, you had to, like you said, go in the club. But now, social media is letting everybody in the club. Even the corny niggas is getting in. Back in the days, you used to walk through the club and 50 people on the line trying to get in the freezing cold. You used to, now everybody gets in. Ain't no more waiting in line. So you got to kind of filter out what's whack, what's hot, what's, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody's in the club now. Nobody's standing on the line.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody's on the guest list. Mm. So that kind of fucks it up a little bit. But everybody is in the club. So you got to make sure you can move around and do your 1-2. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of works. It's you know, it's tit for tat.
Yeah, I hear that. I just feel like that if it was for the new generation, that if they went through the steps that the older generation went through, they would appreciate the older generation much more, because they, you know, there's always a lot of beef with the older generation, newer generation, kind of hating on each other some way, shape, or form.
It's always been like that, you know. The new generation always think they know better, and same way when we came in the game, we was like, yo, this is the new shit, and you know, I always say, like, the whole industry and the culture, and it starts from the young age. Like, we set the young kids. At a young age, set the fashion trends, the music, mm-hmm. everything. You know what I'm saying? They control the future controls the world.
That's a fact.
And that's cool. You know what I'm saying? That's cool. That's why you have kids, and your kids become the next
generation.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just how life goes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because there is a point in time where you do get old and you get corny. Like, your kids will tell you, oh, you old and corny. Yeah. And when they tell you that shit, they ain't lying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Believe it.
Yeah, that's what it is. And shit, you know what I'm saying? But hip-hop keeps us in tune. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This one kid was like, I seen this dude the other day. He was like, yo, how long are you going to be doing this? How long are you going to be performing? I'm like, yo.
As long as they keep paying me to do
it. I just saw KRS-One performing and murder shit. Mm-hmm. And he got me by maybe 5-10 years, so you know what I'm saying, he ain't stopping, so right. And then you gotta look at it, these rock and roll dudes, man, they be performing today 90.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
You know what I'm saying? Still rocking.
Bro, Bon Jovi's one of the highest paid performers. Exactly. He's like been doing it for like 40-50 years.
There's no one, this is what we do for a living. Actors too. Mm. You know, actors grow. You see actors from a kid to a man to an old man. I was just watching an Irishman. I'm like, damn, I remember watching these dudes when they was young. You know what I'm saying?
Goodfellas.
Scarface and all that. Now they old men. Mm-hmm. They not even, you know what I'm saying? They old men playing old men roles now. Yeah, and it's still cool because they elevated with who they are. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's just part of life. You grow when you get old.
Yeah, and of course, they put out great work as well. I think that's a piece of it as well. When you're putting out great work and it stands the test of time, no matter when you come back out, they always remember, this dude is great. I'm looking forward to his next project.
Right. Because you embrace your age. Embrace your age and move with it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And play your part. So, you know.
Do you ever get tired of the industry?
Nah, because this is all I got. You can't get tired of it. I mean, that's why you got your home. That's why you could go home. When you get tired of the industry, you go home and you play with your kids and you watch TV with your wife, like you said, and all this fly shit. That's what you do when you get tired of the industry. You go home.
Okay.
And home is supposed to be peace. Home is where you relax and chill. You know what I'm saying? You got to worry about nobody knocking on your door. No bullets flying through your door. Like, that should be your home. You know what I'm saying? Right. A place where you can relax and not worry about nothing. And cut off the industry. Turn your phone off and just be a person. Mm-hmm. Not be what they think you are. Just be who you are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, you get tired of the industry, but go home. Take a vacation. Fuck.
Yeah.
And then guess what? The industry ain't going nowhere either. So you can take a vacation and it's still going to be here.
Right.
It ain't going nowhere.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
How have you been, you know, smart with any investments regarding, you know, outside of music, you know, with the money that you've made throughout the time in music?
Well, you know, I made some bad investments and good investments. You know, bought some good property and some bad property. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I invest in myself and my brand. Mm. You know, I keep investing in my brand, which is Onyx, and that keeps us moving. You know what I'm saying? So the money that I make from touring or records, I invest it back into the product, which is the Onyx brand, with the merch, you know, selling merch worldwide, touring worldwide. It just it kind of like, it's an investment. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, you can invest in, you know, stocks and all of that shit, but that shit is putting money aside to wait till you die.
For later.
Yeah. Like 10, we did all that. We did all that early. You know, that shit is still sitting there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, but yeah, you know, property and real estate is the best thing you probably can do. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're going to take some bumps and bruises until you learn it. You know what I'm saying? When the whole Vegas shit popped off, I was all in that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Then the bubble bust and all of that shit. Yeah, I felt all of that shit.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's what life is about.
When you dive into the real estate side of investing, are you more trying to like do the fix and flips, or are you just buying homes to like to give to your kids later on? Like, what's your niche? What's your goal when it comes?
Well,
to
when
investing?
We did it, when we was doing it, it was, you know, it was like highway robbery. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, in real estate, yeah, that's, I'm just trying to buy real estate for my kids to own. You know. So they can have a place when they, you know what I'm saying? When they get older, they ain't got to worry about that.
And you kick them out at 18, they got a spot.
No, even my father, you know, my brothers, you know, shout to Bamboo Star and you know what I'm saying? Shout to my brothers, Courtney and all, and Micah and them in Queens. Mm-hmm. They live in the crib that my father, you know what I'm saying, bought. So I see what he did. Like, he left his kids something, you know what I'm saying? So they chilling, they rocking nice cars, chilling at the crib. Pops bought the crib. Pops and fishing in Alabama right now, you know what I'm saying? So shout to the Pops, you know. But yeah, that's what you do. You buy property for your loved ones, you know what I'm saying?
Facts.
End of the day.
Hell yeah. Mom, I hope you got that property ready for your boy, because I needs that.
Yeah, that's what they supposed to do. They retire and give it to you.
Right, big facts. So when we going to see the Onyx biopic?
Oh man, we it's written already. Shout out to my man Taheem. The script is done. The script is dope. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, is it a movie or a series?
No, it's a movie.
Okay.
It's a movie and it takes you back to the original start in the barbershop, like I was saying, and how we met Jam Master Jay in the traffic jam and how Sticky got in the group because he wasn't in the group at first. And you know, it takes you all the way until basically when we won the Soul Train Award, you know what I'm saying? When we won the Soul Train Award, I kind of stopped the movie at that point because it definitely goes longer. But I wanted to stop it there because that's when Big DS left the group after the first album. So I just wanted to kind of focus on how we started to how we got to winning a Soul Train Award, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, because you can't make the... I see what they try to like fit too many things in one movie and it kind of like... What is it? Kind of like you don't get the full story.
Yeah, we saw that with the, what was it? All Eyes on Me?
Yeah. I think because his career is...
It's too much.
Yeah, he would have to have at least... Tupac would have to have at least 3 movies. You know what I'm saying? Because his life was that... You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Trying to put his whole career into one movie was just... It's just crazy. Right.
At least they could have made it 3 hours.
3 hours or you know, part one, then the sequel. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know? So, but, you know, they could have did the pop before he got shot, you know what I'm saying? I mean, before he got shot the first time.
Right.
Like, up into that, you know what I'm saying? And then it could have went, set part two is Death Row. That's a whole nother part of his whole career, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, we just focused on this biopic. It's called Slam, Let the Boys Be Boys. Mm-hmm. We just focused on the beginning of Onyx until the end of Back the Fuck Up, you know, the Back the Fuck Up vibe. But we also got the documentary popping. Mm. The documentary is getting packaged. It's
shot already?
It's not shot. We started shooting. It's looking real. It's looking real crazy. So the documentary is gonna probably come out this year sometime.
Okay, that's awesome, man. Yeah. And I see you were talking about doing some things with a podcast off camera, and you know I like how you diversifying even more now. So tell us about this podcast if you care to talk.
Look at Noriega, my man.
Oh man,
that's my man,
Super Thug.
I mean, you know, he's letting you know. I mean, he's kind of like the original. Like I would say, he was the trailblazer kind of in doing podcasts for rap artists.
Yeah, Joe Budden as well.
But this is what it is. This is everybody's doing it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we got a podcast, myself and my co-host Johnny Voga. Mm-hmm. It's called Rappers and Ballers.
Okay.
All I like to do is watch sports. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Basketball, football. I don't give a fuck if it's knife throwing, curling. I watch all sports. Good golf. Stuff. nigga, bull ride, I don't give a fuck, whatever, nigga. I'm watching all that shit, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's mostly basketball, football, boxing, the shit that the culture fuck with. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Those are the three sports that hip-hop fuck with. Like, I was saying, telling you, like, you telling me Dominican, I was like, yo, you like baseball? You was like, nah, but because baseball... The culture don't fuck with baseball. Yeah. They just don't.
Yeah. Dominicans do, but not the culture.
Dominicans ain't hip hop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I beg to differ because I got some hip hop in me.
But they're not part
but
of
I see what you're saying.
They're not part of the fabric of
where it was birthed.
Yeah, you know, hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Hip hop is football. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, all the quarterbacks, running backs, all the niggas rocking chains, you know, hanging out with the rappers and all that. Mm-hmm. Basketball. Come on, son. That's all hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And boxing. You know what I'm saying? Boxing is, look at Dante Wilder and all them niggas. You know, Mike Tyson, that's hip hop. You know?
Yeah.
So these are the sports that rappers and ballers, we concentrate on. This is what we talk about. Mm-hmm. And we just talk about topics. We don't talk about daily topics. We talk about topics that are just part of baseball. Like, we don't talk about what happens now. We talking about what can happen, like the whole shit, the whole gist of just sports and music. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Rappers and ballers, make sure y'all get on the YouTube page. We need more subscribers. We trying to get like this guy.
Hey, man.
You know what I'm saying? We need our subscribers up. Make sure you tune in.
Big facts, big facts. I'm here for the consultation. Don't worry.
Yeah, that's why we here, yeah.
First hour is free. Don't worry.
All right. It's only going to take an hour, nigga. Watch.
Nah, that's what's up, man. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you diversifying, man. I'll definitely show you, you know, how you could get some sponsorship. That's really where the money that sponsorships and ads and then, of course, the streaming stuff. And there's actually a website called Anchor where you can upload the audio versions of your podcast and they'll distribute it to Spotify, iTunes, and all that shit.
We need to know.
And then, you know, you can also do little voice advertisements, like they'll send you like opportunities, like, yo, talk about this shirt or whatever. And then, you know, in like a little 30-second, they'll give you the key points to talk about. And then when you put it on the audio form, they'll place that ad in one of your episodes. Mm. And then you get paid off that.
Wow. Okay. Yes, we definitely gotta, you know.
Yeah, but I'm gonna give you some more tips after this joint's over.
No doubt.
But yeah, that's what it is, man. So what music you got?
Oh, man, we just put an album out. You know, we focused our career over into Europe. Mm. You know, we've been stomping in Europe for the last 10 years.
Is there a reason for that?
They just love us over there.
Okay.
And like my man Tata said, go where they show you love. Mm. Onyx has a strong connection with Russia. Mm. When Russia got the independence in early 90s, Onyx came out and they symbolized the mad face on the wall of Russia all over the place. Mm. As just being a symbol of hip hop, and you know the Russians were fighting against this, you know, the heavy metal guys, and so the hip hop culture came and had a clash with the metal culture. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And Onyx was the main flag of that in Russia, so that's why we always go back to Russia. And I guess it's the same in Germany. You know, these countries: Germany, France, London. That's where we've been marketing ourselves. So we put an album out with these producers from Germany called Snow Goons. Mm. A lot of people probably in America don't know them, but overseas they're like fucking, you know what I'm saying? They're the main producers, you know, shout to DJ Legal and them dudes. But we put an album out with them called Wake the Fuck Up, 2016. Mm-hmm. Shit did real well, you know what I'm saying, financially. And you know, we toured off it, it sold.
And y'all independent at this
time. Independent. Okay. But dropping records with Snow Goons is kind of like dropping records with Def Jam.
Okay.
It's a built-in, they have their built-in audience, and we got our built-in fan base. So we put our fan bases together, and boom. So we just put another album out called Snow Mads.
Okay.
You know, my clique is called 100 Mad, and the Snow Goons, we just put an album out called the Snow Mads, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we've been touring crazy. We booking a lot of festivals with this album coming in 2020. So we just put the album out. Yeah, so we working, man. You know what I'm saying? And there's a new Onyx album. We trying to get it done, me and Sticky, man. Well, you know, it's just a lot of touring. He's doing the film right now, and I'm about to start production on the film. So we trying to squeeze this album, this last album in. You know what I'm saying? It might be the last Onyx album. Mm. And just get crazy. Just go dark with it. You know what I'm saying? Take it back to the beginning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Take it back to the All We Got Is Us vibe. Because I think this next Onyx album, I think we going to produce it. You know what I'm saying, as far as pick the beats, pick the samples, and the same way we did with the second album. what we got is us. The second album Onyx ever did, we produced it ourselves. We had the crazy crib in Jersey, fucking the 8-plex shit. The shit was crazy. Mm. Had niggas over here doing beats, niggas over here. It was just crazy. It was like a fucking madhouse. And we produced the second album, which is called All We Got Is Us. Mm-hmm. And that album, to me, was probably the darkest album we did. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We did a joint called Last Days, and mm-hmm. that was part of that album. Mm-hmm. Like every album, we got like two or three joints that you like. Okay, so Last Days was the joint for that album. Last Days was in 8 Mile. They romped off in 8 Mile, and you know, actually to this day, like that's the main song that's paying us more than anything. Mm-hmm. Last Days, people would think Slam, but no, Last Days is crazy because we produced it. Mm-hmm. But so the second album. I mean, the second album we doing, this next album we coming out, we going to produce shit.
Right.
Fuck that.
Okay.
Fuck that.
Okay. So that's crazy, because I always assumed Slam was the biggest
joke. Yeah. It gets licensed a lot, you know what I mean? Movies. I just got an email today, just got licensed for a new TV show. Like, Slam gets licensed about 20 times a year.
At what point did you know that Slam was going to be the one? Or did you didn't even know?
No, we knew it.
Okay.
Because it was, Slam was the, you know, it was the last record we recorded for the album Back the Fuck Up.
How was that studio session?
Yo, it's like Leo Cohen, he's up at YouTube right now. Mm-hmm. He was the main guy at Def Jam. It was Russell Simmons and Leo Cohen, but Leo Cohen was the guy. He was the guy in the office with the cigar talking that shit. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? We looking at him like we in a fucking mafia movie and shit. You know what I'm saying? Tall Jewish, cool, gangster motherfucker. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Leo Cohen and shit.
Yeah.
So we was coming in, you know, playing an album for Leal and Mike Kaiser, who's, mm-hmm. you know, the president at Atlantic. You know what I'm saying? He was doing radio. Mm-hmm. And we bought the album in, and they was like, yeah, this shit is dope, but we need a radio record. So we knew we had to come with a radio record. So we had to go to the drum board. Sha Skills, the producer of the first album with Jam Master Jay, God bless the dead. Mm. Came with the beat. He came with the beat. Came with that Slam beat. When I heard it, I was like, I don't like it. Mm. Jay was like, you don't like it? I was like, nah, it's just too happy.
Too happy, yeah.
He was like, thank you. Great. It's too fucking happy. You don't like it? Like it. So start playing it. I was like, all right, well, I see where this is going. You know what I'm saying? It definitely is more, you know, it's more melodic than what we've been doing, you know what I'm saying? So we just put a couple of elements together, the whole Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit, that mm-hmm. whole vibe was, we was watching that vibe on MTV mm-hmm. and, you know, the Susan Vega record, all that shit with, like, that record was a white girl singing, but that record was in the hood, like, it was in the streets. Yeah. All that shit and... Tramp! We put all those elements together and we came up with the hook. You know what I'm saying? Mm.
She cleared it?
Unknowingly. No, okay. She didn't have to clear it because it wasn't the same. It was just the vibe of da 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 da. Let the boys be boys. Slam! Da da da. And her shit is. It's some da-da-da shit, you know what I'm saying?
You gotta clear that.
kind of reworked the shit, and that's how Slam came, and, you know, that's that.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, man, because I remember when it hit, and I was like, yo, who are these dudes? This is crazy.
This is crazy.
Yeah, almost, I fucked around, almost got
you know, then you gotta look at niggas like Naughty by Nation, and, mm-hmm. you know, Hip Hop Array and all of that shit. We was like, we had to compete with those guys, and Daz Effects, and, you know, but... Naughty by Nature kind of gave us that, yo, we got it. They was doing big chorus records.
Yeah.
So we was like, yo, we got to do big chorus records. Like, they gave us that blueprint. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Leeds of the New School gave us the, you know, the ad-libs. We took that from them, kind of like, you know, just the energy. And, you know, Daz Effects was coming out the sewer, so we had to come with some different shit. Like, in that time, you wanted to be nothing like the next guy that came out. Mm-hmm. You wanted to be better. And different.
Right.
Now it's like, I want to be just like this guy. Like, now everybody is sounding the same. When we came out, everybody wanted to be different. Mm. That's crazy. Like, these motherfuckers sound like this. All right, we might take a little bit from that, but we going to sound different. We going to, you know what I'm saying? That's how it was, man. Everybody was, that's why in the 90s, music is the best time in hip hop to me. Mm-hmm. Because it was so many different varieties of different shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So with that being said, you're saying that everybody's following a trend and they're trying to focus on a specific sound to get popular or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and also you not knowing that, you know, the big hook chorus records work. So what's your plan? Because you just mentioned with this new album, you know, you say you're going to keep it dark.
Yeah.
But what's your plan to for the single, for that one that's going to stand out?
You know what? We're not even going to look for no radio single. We're just going to rock.
Okay.
We don't care about radio. Right at this point, we don't care about radio. They're not playing Onyx on the radio all day. They playing some young kids, 16, 17. We know that.
Mm.
So we're not going to focus on that. We just want to focus on making underground hit, most likely. Like, Last Days was an underground hit. When Last Days was coming on the radio, I hated it. They was reversing shit, taking shit out. It was the worst shit ever. But every time I heard that record on the radio, it was cringeworthy. Like, it was just like, ugh. They just chopped it up because it was so, you know.
So raw.
It was raw. So you know what? This album, like, we want to keep it dark. Don't worry about the radio and just come with some shit. You know what I'm saying? That's it. Worry about lyrics and worry about fucking just hard beats.
Mm.
Ill samples, ill loops, and the ill vibe. You know what I'm saying? That's what we want to do for the next Onyx album. Mm. Yeah.
That's what's up, man. Well, I'm excited to see it. I'm more excited to see that biopic, man. I can't wait till that comes out.
Yeah, I'm going
to
see who's going to play me. You know what I mean? Yeah. See who's going to play me in the movie.
That's what's up, man. But, you know, yeah, definitely, man. If you need help producing it, I definitely love to help you, and we could talk a little bit more about that off camera.
For sure.
But yeah, man. No, like I said, I'm excited. I'm glad I got to sit down with you and you share this information to my audience.
Sleep is,
you know,
for billionaires, right?
This is what it is, man. All day, every day, man. I still got these Louis bags under my eyes.
Me too. I don't sleep. I get up at 5 a.m. mm-hmm. in the gym at 6. You know, and shit. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm close to the 5-0, man. I'm close to. You know what I'm saying? Like, but. You gotta stay young at heart, man, and and sleep is for billionaires. We ain't got no time to sleep. You think Puffy sleeping? You think Diddy sleeping? That nigga sleep on a jet.
Right.
That's the only time he sleep, nigga. Probably. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Ain't no sleeping, man. Fuck that.
And if you sleeping, make sure your money's up working for
you. Hey, you can't even sleep if you're a billionaire.
Right.
Because then all your money gonna be gone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's more work. Word. It ain't more money, more problems. More money, more work.
Word.
That's exactly what it is, man. Well, let the people know where they could follow you, where they could buy the album. When's the next tour? They coming to LA?
Yeah. No doubt, man. The website is Onyx HQ, Onyx headquarters, onyxhq.com. All the tour dates, merch, everything we doing is basically on there, you know what I'm saying? You know, everybody on the IG, Fredro_star, you know what I'm saying, on IG and Facebook, whatever, man. Catch me in traffic, Twitter, nope, I don't fuck with that really no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, social media is this, I wanna just fuck with the YouTube, man.
Okay.
So make sure you subscribe to us, Rappers and Ballers, on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna be putting out a lot of content. It's just starting right now, but we're going to have a lot of great conversations about sports and hip-hop. So holler at us, man. You know what I'm saying? Catch us on tour, too.
There it is, man.
Blah.
Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Johnny Vegas. My man, Fredro Starr. Thank you for coming through, King.
You already know, King.
Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching and subscribe to both our channels because we need all the damn subscribes we can get.
Word. Tune in.
Holler.
Holler.